This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to www.ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, I'm with Chris White, General Manager at Denby's Wine Estates. How are you, Chris?
Very well, thank you.
Denby's has been going for a number of years. When did you first start?
It's 20 years ago now. My father purchased the estate in 1984. The first vines were planted in 1986, so this year is our 20th anniversary.
Originally, it wasn't a vineyard when you purchased it.
You're right, 20 years ago, we purchased the estate as a pig and cattle farm, and we were looking for another use for the estate, and this is when we were approached by a good friend of my father's, Professor Selly, and he pointed out to my father that it would be ideal for vine production, and we did a sample plot, and the rest is history.
Why did he say it was good for vine production?
Well, on the North Downs, they're all chalky soils, south-facing slopes, and we do have our own microclimate, which protects us from some of the easterly winds. We can take a little bit of chill out of the air, and which does help promote the vine growth.
Okay, and chalky soil is quite good because it's both porous, so the water flows through it, but it can hold water as well in the dry years.
That's right, yes, the vines hate having their feet in water, so both being on slopes and on chalk soils, the chalk is fractured, but it also maintains a little bit of moisture, so the vines can suck up as little or as much as they want during different times of the year.
You guys grow not just some of the real trendy sparkling wines that are out now, but also a lot of still wines, whites and reds. Mm-hmm. What grows well down here?
Well, we grew a lot of vines. We planted 18 different varieties 20 years ago, and because of the change in trends of drinking certain particular wines in the UK, and due to global warming, we're able to grow different varieties now, which we weren't quite so lucky with before. We grow a lot of Pinot Noir, which not only goes into our sparkling wines, but also goes into our reds and our rosé. And we produce Bacchus, Chardonnay, Müllerturge, Reichensteiner, so some German varieties and quite a lot of French as well.
What would you say would be your personal favourite?
My personal favourite is perhaps the Ortegas and the Müllers, which go into the Surrey Gold, which is a nice, easy-drinking white wine. But I also like the Pinot Noir because it's so versatile for us. As I say, it goes into our rosé, sparklings, or the reds. Again, this year we've been able to produce a sparkling rosé from that, so it's a really good variety to use.
You talked about your Surrey Gold. That's actually available in some of the multiples. You're one of the few wineries in the UK that are big enough to supply the supermarkets. You've got about, 106 hectares, you're saying?
Yes, that's right. The vineyard's 106 hectares. This year, of the Surrey Gold alone, we produced 125,000 litres of that, which equates to just over 150,000 bottles. And you're right, we supply that to some of the multiples like Waitrose, Summerfield. We also supply Harrods with some of our premium wines. And the P&O cruise lines take our Surrey Gold as well on obviously all the cruises around the Mediterranean and the Caribbean. So we get a lot of visitors who've been on the cruises who come here for a tour afterwards after drinking our wine in the Caribbean.
You sell through the supermarkets, but you've got a visitor centre here. How much wine gets sold through the visitor centre?
Well, obviously, we try and encourage as much as possible the majority of our wine to go through the visitor centre. 75% of the total production goes through the visitor centre, and we do that throughout the functions that we hold here, our two restaurants, the shop, and our online sales, which go through the internet.
Do you sell, just out of curiosity, do you sell the wines in the shop the same price as you sell them in the restaurant?
No, there is a corky charge on top of it. Obviously, it's if we can sell every wine we produce through the glass, that's what we're trying to achieve. Hence the reason why we have this sort of investment in the restaurants.
Sure. No, that's fine. I was just curious to see what was going on there. You guys were given an award recently, a couple of years ago, as a tourist attraction.
Yes, as a tourist attraction, we won Southeast Tourist Attraction of the Year Award, which was given to us by the English Tourist Board. So we're very pleased with that. And again, although we are a serious agricultural business, it's an integral part of the business from the start to invest in the tourist attraction so we could educate people on the complexity and perhaps give them a greater appreciation of what goes into producing a bottle of wine.
What do you guys do to become one of the Southeast's tourist attractions? What have you got here that would bring people down?
Well, obviously, we've got the vineyard, and in order that people can see the vineyard, we have a vineyard train which takes people with a running commentary through the vineyard and explains to them why the grapes are grown here and a little bit more about the varieties. We also have a winery tour which takes them on a 360-degree cinema, which shows them the winemaking process throughout the year, because a few things may not be going on at that particular time, which they come to visit the vineyard, the winery. They take them through the working winery, and they'll see it, the grapes either being pressed at certain times of the year, fermenting in the stainless or barrel tanks, and then they'll see the wine being bottled, labelled, and then they'll be taken down to the cellars for a tasting of three of our wines. We also have an arts gallery, performing arts library, the shops, the restaurants, and this year we've opened up a garden centre. So always trying to attract people to Denbighs for the elements which are surrounding around wines. You've got the obviously the wines and the arts, which go very well together.
How many visitors do you get then?
We have about 300,000 visitors a year, which is seems to be increasing year on year. So we're having to expand our facilities internally to cope with that sort of growth.
You've got a nice big car park here. Is there good public transport down here?
We have fantastic. I mean, we're only 5 minutes from the M25, but we also have the train from London, which leaves both from Paddington and Victoria. And it comes into Dorking, and it's only 10 minutes walk away, so it's easy to get here with train.
Okay, it's always quite good if you come down here, have a couple of glasses of wine, then you can always jump on the train and head
definitely,
back.
Definitely, yeah.
Not worrying about driving, which is always a bit of a worry sometimes.
That's right.
So 300,000 visitors. Quite a few visitors coming out. What sort of person comes down here?
Well, we have a huge range of visitors here, but the majority of them are probably the over 50s. But again, we do a lot of activities here. We don't have just the wine tours. We also have a lot of conference facilities. We do weddings here. So the demographic group does change from whatever event we're doing. So again, a lot of our corporate events, the age range does go down, but the majority of our regular business, which is locals who come in here for lunch and use our shopping facilities here, are normally over the 50 mark.
You were saying earlier you got coach parties coming down.
That's right.
Spend a couple of hours here. What else do they do in the area? Do they come here exclusively to Denbighs, or do they do it as part of a general tour?
Yeah, a lot of them do come here exclusively for Denbighs, but we are in partnership with other tourist attractions like Wisley Gardens, and locally we have Painshill Park, which is an outdoor attraction with fantastic lakes and other features. So we work closely with other tourist attractions so that we can give somebody a full package and give them a full day outing. And they may not be wine specialists or even wine lovers, so we balance off between the two visitor attractions to give them a fully balanced day.
What do you think is the most popular part of coming to Denbighs as a visit?
I think it's the whole experience, really. I mean, our unique selling point is the quality of what we offer, and that just doesn't just come from the wines, but it comes from the whole experience as a whole, whether they're eating in the shop, in the restaurants, or shopping. So I think it's just the overall experience. So again, we base our whole company mission statement is really to produce the best quality product possible at the optimum realizations. So as long as we keep that sort of target, then we're achieving our ultimate goal, really.
I was talking to Michael Roberts before. They're a specialist sparkling wine producer.
That's right.
And I asked him why he doesn't produce still wines.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, the healthiest vineyard is a profitable vineyard.
Absolutely right.
You guys produce a lot of still wines. And some of the wines you sell are quite reasonable price. You know, they're like $4.99 in Waitrose.
That's right.
Are you profitable?
We're certainly profitable. I think because a lot of English vineyards are based around trade sales, obviously they don't receive even that $4.99 price. So what we do here, we make sure we get the cream ourselves. Hence the reason why we sell the majority of our wines through the visitor centre. But again, we do sell a lot of the premium wines, which are a lot more expensive than that. But I think it's a balance, really, between the expensive wines and your less expensive wines. And I think it's a factor of where you sell them as well. If you're selling them just in supermarkets, the margins are extremely tight.
Yeah.
And it's certainly not been a long-term strategy for us selling through the supermarkets in huge volumes. It's more of a sort of secondary outlet for us.
You've got quite a few varieties of wine. How are you guys going in the competitions? Do you get into the...
Yes, we do. We've entered a lot of international competitions this year. It's been our best year ever. We won a gold award in the International Wine and Spirits Competition for our sparkling best in class. And that was for our Greenfields. So that was very exciting. But across
Who was that against? Was that just...
No, that was against all the sparkling wines across the world, including France. However, the Champagne region do have their own classification. We'd very much like to come up head-to-head with them at some time. But amongst the top ones, we were still competing against a South African and an Australian sparkling wine. So it was very exciting for us. So what it means for us is that we're not only now competing with wines from around the world, in some aspects we're beating them as well. So it's an exciting time for us at the moment.
One of the issues associated with English vineyards is frost. How do you guys manage frost here?
Well, frost has been a real pain for us over the years. We've tried various methods, whether it be the smudge pots or the diesel Bowser burners. We've also done used big, huge fans over the years, but we've now invested in a Frostbuster.
What's that?
It looks very much like a glorified jet engine, and it is a big fan which blows out hot air, natural gas, so it's a lot cheaper and more environmentally friendly. But unfortunately, a vineyard worker has to drive it round on the back of a tractor all evening. And the idea of this machine is to keep the air moving. It'll cover about 10 hectares, and it'll cost us about £800 per night running, but whereas the diesel burners used to cost us about £7,000. So it's a balance between the two.
Fantastic. Well, I think we'll wrap it up there, Chris. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
Cheers.